Man of God, arise as a PPK, a priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family, and the king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join us as pastor and coach Gerald Benton encourages, leads, and teaches men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a PPK.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining me on the turnaround. As you can see, it's God kind of got me on, I guess, a series of the turnarounds. And for me, it's a place where God takes me back to different places in my life and showed me the process of me coming out. And so he once told me a long time ago that I'm gonna have you to all go back and be able to help others. I mean, when he was saying that stuff, he was literally saying that when I was literally in my mess and I'm thinking, how in the world am I gonna be able to come out of this and be able to talk about this when I'm sitting here in a place of shame, a place of depression, a place of suicide, a place of hurt, a place of pain. And it was just a bad place. So I really didn't understand how to literally come out of this dark place. But then it was God just started showing me this process. And as you can see, if you looked at the turnarounds, you see the process of me coming out of different things. But then when I got home, there was a place where I really had to truly transition from myself, from my selfish place, from my will to God's will. When I tell you, it's a difference between your will and God's will. And for me, it was real change. It was like a life thing. Because if you ever want to understand what God's will is, and we're talking about God's perfect will, God's will, God's perfect will, because if you understand that it's a place where there's a sacrifice that has to be made, it's a decision that has to be made, and you have to be willing to actually make a sacrifice. And that means something, a sacrifice in the Bible means something had to die. Something had, you know, you had to, in the New Testament, you had to die to yourself. I mean, not a physical death, but you had to die to yourself. You had to die to your me, myself, and I. You had to die to your flesh. You had to die to your emotions. You had to die to your feelings. All of that stuff has to die, because when God wants you to do something, it never lines up with what you think and how you think. And that's why he says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So you can't even really fathom or think what God is thinking and what God wants to do in that place. And so I'm sitting there. And I'm back. I'm coming back. I'm being delivered. I'm going through this process. And God says, start paying attention. I was paying attention to Yvette from the beginning because she was doing something totally different. She was responding to me differently. She was loving me in another way, another sense. It was kind of weird because it was something that I wasn't used to. It was something that was just, it was kind of like, I'm uncomfortable with it because I don't know if it's real, or I don't know if I do something that she would snap back into the old person. And so I started doing stuff that I knew that would snap her back to the old person, because I was, you know, I was really in my me, myself, and I. How can I, you know, be better or just working, thinking about myself like I always did. So I came back in the same me, myself, and I spirit. A selfish spirit, self-absorbed, all of that stuff. It was just me. And so I watched her go through this. I mean, this process, it was, I'm sure it was hard for her. And I'm sure she tells the story of how hard it was for her to be able to do what she was having to do. But it was a thing where I realized, you know, later on that there was a sacrifice that had to be made. God was like, if you can have good, you can have acceptable, you can even just have my will. But if you want my perfect will, there's a sacrifice that has to be made. There was a, and she literally had to make a sacrifice. She had to sacrifice her. She had to sacrifice her wants. She had to sacrifice her desires. She had to sacrifice her feelings. She had to sacrifice everything that she actually knew physically, mentally, and spiritually for me, because God said that if you want my perfect will, you have to help my son get back to where I need him to be. And so it took a long time, a long process, but she was dying to herself. She was making a sacrifice that I'm willing to sacrifice everything that I know. I'm willing to sacrifice my feelings, my everything that I have, God, for you. She didn't even like me. So it was because God asked her to. And so you start looking at different stories. And I was looking, God took me to Abraham and Isaac. It was like, this guy was willing to give his son up. I mean, I'm talking about a major sacrifice. He was willing to literally put his son on an altar and burn him, cut him and burn him. Now, when you talk about a sacrifice, when you think about it, will you do that? And I'm in my mind, I was like, God, don't make me want to sacrifice my kids. Don't put me into that situation. But it was like he's trying to get his attention. He was testing. He was trying to see where he was with him. Would he actually do what he asked him to do? It's like, what has God asked you to do? So Yvette was actually, God asked her to love him like he's never, ever done anything. Okay, what does that even look like? That means you have to do, and he literally gave her the instructions, you have to do this. When he says something like this, this is how you have to respond. When he asks for something that seems really stupid, why you have to do it, you just do it. When he says, you know, he's acting a certain way, you respond this way. You treat him like a king. You treat him with respect. You treat him with love. I mean, these things was going against everything that she normally did. That not saying that she didn't love me, but the way I was doing it, her natural mind would say, well, he don't deserve to be respected. He ain't doing nothing to be respected. He ain't doing anything for me to call him king. He's not doing anything. But see, when God says, if you want my perfect will, there's a sacrifice, a major sacrifice that has to be made. And so she literally started making this sacrifice, you know, I mean, it was day after day, month after month, year after year, because this wasn't a fast turnaround. This was like, okay, are you in this thing for the long haul, Yvette? Because in this place that you say that you're going to sacrifice, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you the strength. You just asked me, what do you need today? I need strength today, God. I need wisdom today, God. She told me this is what she was doing. And I think she put it in a book. It's like, I need the wisdom today. I need the understanding today, because we're talking about going from your will to God's will, and there's a sacrifice in between it, because and that was in like Genesis. You go to Genesis 22 and 8 and read the story on Abraham and Isaac on the journey of going up to this hill, going up on this mountain and willing to sacrifice. And when when he decided that he would actually do it, God told him, don't you do it. I got a ram in the bush for you. God got a ram in the bush. All you got to do is just ask for God's perfect will and start walking it out. If you don't walk it out, then how you going to end up getting, and this is how he's telling me, how are you going to end, how do you think that you're going to get to it? So I'm giving you a living example. So God said, I gave you a living example. So I'm watching Yvette. I'm watching her very, very closely, because I'm trying to see if this thing going to be real, really, is really, really real. That's real. And so I was watching her, and she was like really doing some stuff that, you know, I see the Bible doing. And I ain't talking about I done been in church. I done seen people in church. I done seen people that's in church, out of church. And I done seen both sides. I'm talking about somebody that's saying, I ain't compromising on absolutely nothing that God has said. If it don't look right, I ain't doing it. If it don't sound right, I'm not doing it. If it ain't God, it ain't happening, period. And if you know her, and if you've been around her, you know that is who she is, how she is, and what she is. She's not going to change. She ain't changing. If she's changing, she's changing more for God. If she's changing, she's literally transforming into the image and likeness of God. So I'm walking around looking at someone that's truly living the epistle, is a living Bible, a living epistle that they say that we should be a living epistle. Yeah, she's living that thing. And what she was wanting, she wasn't even wanting God perfect, good. She wasn't even wanting God's acceptable. She was looking for God's perfect will. That means something had to die. You had to die to yourself. And so God started telling me about, he started telling me about his covenant. He was like, okay, Gerald, what you think? When I make a covenant with in the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice that had to be made. When I made a covenant in the New Testament, there was a sacifice that had to be made. And I'm like, okay, wow, Jesus, he made a sacrifice. He gave his son. son, Jesus, what? The one that we're supposed to emulate, the one that we, Gerald, the one you're supposed to look like, the one you're supposed to emulate. That's why he gave, allow him to walk on this earth so we could actually see a physical body, a physical man doing the things that he was doing. That he says that these work that you shall do and you shall do them more. You should be able to do them too. So when we're looking at the Bible and we're saying, you know, man, that seemed hard. Jesus just, man, he getting on the cross and just going to die. I mean, but he said, in Matthew 26:4, he says, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. All he wanted to do is God's will. All he want, I mean, literally, he came upon this earth to just do God's will. We are on this earth just to do God's will, not our will. But here's the purpose. Me, I allow, let me tell you how your will takes over. And this is how it worked for me, because I allowed my hurts, my pains, my rejections, my abandonments, all of those things that kind of formed in my mind that got me to a place where, you know, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. You make me mad, I'm snapping. You make me mad, I'm running. You make me mad, I don't like you. You reject me, you got a problem with me. I mean, that was my perspective. That was my perspective. And so that turned me into a me, myself. And I was really, really selfish. I became really selfish. It was all about me. If it wasn't about me, if I can't have it, you can't have it. If I can't do it, you can't do it. That's just how I thought about it. That's just what it was. I came into a marriage and I literally told somebody, a friend of mine in college, I was like, dude, I'm going to marry me somebody that's going to take care of me. And that's literally what I came into this marriage. And I didn't even realize that, because I made that vow and I didn't understand the power of my words back then. And when I said it, I came into it. My mind was already focused on, I'm going to have somebody to take care of me. And then we got into this marriage. Yvette was already established. She was already doing what she was doing. Then all of a sudden now she is actually taking care of me. Then we got into deliverance and we start realizing that, you operating in an Ahab and Jezebel spirit. This man is not in his rightful place. This man is not acting like he was supposed to be a king, acting like he's supposed to be a ruler. You're out of place and you're dominating the situation. She wasn't like making me do something. I was cool with it. I'm sitting back like, hey, do what you do. You make all the money. You make more than me, so I'm good, because I made a vow back then that I was going to be this person. And so I didn't even have an understanding of it. But when God starts showing me, he starts showing me Yvette, what Yvette is doing, how she's doing. I'm giving you an example, Gerald. It's not like you walking around blind anymore. I'm giving you an example. You're not sitting in the streets. No, you're not homeless. No, you're not abandoned. No, you're not rejected. You're sitting in a house with a woman that's loving you, a woman that's loving you when you shouldn't even be loved. She's loving you unconditionally, like I'm doing. I'm teaching her how to love you unconditionally. And I couldn't, man, when I tell you them whippings, but I understood that God chastised the ones he loves. But before that, I used to be like, why are you, man, I don't like you. Stop talking to me. I'm telling God this. Don't talk to me, because this ain't even, I don't even like what you're saying. What you're saying don't even make sense to me anymore, because my mind had came to a place where I didn't even want to hear God. I ain't want to listen to God. God is talking to us God is always talking to us. It's like, are we really, really to listen? Are we really ready to make a sacrifice? Because if we're really ready to make a sacrifice, then it's like, okay, I'm dying to myself. That when we say that, when we say, okay, we're new creatures in Christ, that means the old things have passed away. But when you start seeing yourself operating in an old thing, has it really and truly passed away? Has it passed away? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the dying to myself? And I'm like, dang, God, okay, die to myself. All right. Okay, show me the doubt of myself. I'm showing you your wife. Your wife has done it. Your wife is walking through it. Your wife is your living example. Your wife is the one. I'm like, really? You would use my wife, the one person that I didn't like. You know what I mean? It's like, see what I'm saying? The devil tried to make me and Yvette, me hate Yvette, and I did. Because I allowed him to affect my mind, affect my heart. I allowed him to get into my heart and affect how I was feeling. But God, once God worked on my heart, once God worked on my heart and he showed me what Yvette was doing, he showed me these prayers she was praying, he showed me her walk, and I'm like, she's walking this thing. She's still walking this thing today. Every day she gets closer to God. Every day she is like, I'm like, God, Are you going, is she going to be like Enoch? You going to just bring her up? I mean, dang, every time I turn around, God is just speaking to her. God is just dropping stuff into her. I'm talking, if you laughing, I'm talking about somebody's laughing, because this thing, she does this all the time. I'm in the house with her, so y'all don't get what I get. I'm like, my God. And before, I used to be like, man, are you serious right now? That's just way too much, Yvette. You're going overboard. But no, she's saying and doing what God says do. And I'm looking for God's perfect will. And as I strive for God's perfect will, I get these demands. I get these requests that aren't normal, because you don't think about do this. You don't think about saying this. You don't think about living your life this way. This body tells us to do something different. It doesn't want to line up with God. So we're talking about transforming from your will to God's will. And so God started telling me about the sacrifice and what Yvette was doing, how she was doing it. And then now that I'm home, I'm realizing that I wasn't really ready to make some major sacrifices, because there were things that I still had to do. There were still things that I had to think about, things that I had to actually walk out that I wasn't really truly ready to walk out. And so he says, do you really want my perfect will? And he said, think about it, Gerald. You say this prayer, and we all say this prayer in Matthew 6:10. It says, our Father prayer. And it says, you know, in 10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, every time you say that, you asking for my will to be done on earth. Aren't you on earth? That means that if you're walking on earth, you want my will to be on earth. Are you asking for my will? Are you asking for my will to be in your mind? Are you saying, can my mind be in your will? Can my words be in your will? Can my thinking be in your will? Can my heart be in your will? Am I willing to be in your will? Can your will, I want your will more than I want my will. I want your desires more than my desires. And there has to be a sacrifice. You got to be willing to give something up, Gerald. You got to be willing to sacrifice your feelings, sacrifice your attitude, sacrifice all of that stuff that has caused you to think differently, to act differently, to respond differently. Give up that hurt. Give up that rejection. Give up that pain. Give up that unforgiveness. Give up that perversion. Give up that things, because I'm trying to put you into my perfect will. And if you desire to operate like your wife, then you got to get here faster, because how can two walk together unless they agree? If she's walking in my perfect will, she's desiring my perfect will, then you got to desire my perfect will. I'm giving you the example, so you don't have the excuse saying, I don't know how to do it. I'm giving you a living proof, a living example. And so I'm sitting there looking at my wife daily. I'm sitting there looking at her do these things and love someone. I mean, like the unconditional love, the forgive 70 times seven. You read that stuff all day long. You read that all day long. How about pray for the one that despitefully used you? Now, that you can't do that in your own will. God, and let me tell you something. When you get in God's will, there's a new strength in God's will. There's a new strength. There's literally a new strength. There's a new place. There's a new authority. There's a new power. Because when you just walking in good and acceptable, it's like, yeah, that's okay. But when you talking about God's perfect will, what we talking about, a major sacrifice that is happening. That is happening. Will you make that? I don't care what that person's looking like. I don't care what that person is saying. I don't care how that person is responding. I don't even care where they are. It's like, will you? If God says, I want you to do this, that means he's trying to get you in a place of his perfect will. I'm talking about this new strength. I'm talking about this strength that when you tap into that, when you tap into God's will, you're not depleted with strength. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you, because I was literally trying to take her strength, and God just kept giving her strength, giving her strength, giving her strength, giving her strength. I mean, because she was asking for it. She was asking for it. She had to ask for it, and God was just giving it to her. He was granting it to her. Then he started giving us strategies. He started giving us, I mean, I'm talking about some real good strategies to help me to come out of this, because I was actually, you know, my wife is a teacher. So God is giving her strategies, and she's having to understand how to teach, because if she wanted to relate to me and she wanted me to understand something, she starts speaking my language. Y'all better catch that one, man. It was a sacrifice. My wife is a very intellectual person. And so she would just talk the way she normally talked. She would do what she just normally needed to do. But let me tell you something. She had to start breaking that stuff down in football terms for me to understand. She had to break stuff down in a football term for me to understand the kingdom, understand what a sacrifice was. Man, I'm about to cry right now because I remember her. Man, God, I remember her sitting there looking at me like, you don't really get this. You really don't get this. Then she had to start praying against a learning disability, a block that you can't understand and understand the will of God. It was like a spirit that caused me not to want to learn it, not to want to accept it. But then when she did it, here goes God's strategy, start talking to him in football terms. I bet you'll understand it then. And then she started talking about, okay, Gerald, you are the head coach. I'm the offensive coordinator. That means I'm running this offense. That means I got you. You are over me, but you allowed me to do this. And now we're talking about this. So when we have communication, we have to talk about a plan. We have to talk about the game plan. What's the game plan to do? We trying to win. Yeah, that thing made so much sense to me. I'm like, yeah, babe, yeah, you the offense coordinator. All right, what plays you got? What strategies you got? Now I'm understanding. Now it's like I'm sacrificing a something that I didn't even understand. But when she started talking my language, when she started speaking my language, it brought me into a whole nother place. Now we're talking about communication. It was a place where God's perfect will is having God's perfect communication with my spouse. And so when she starts speaking my language, now she got my attention. Now I got an understanding. But now her teaching anointing can kick in and she can explain stuff to me. And now I understand, you know, the sacrifice that has to be made as a head coach, the sacrifices that have to be made as a coordinator, sacrifices that need to be made on a football field for the plan to come together. Man, this thing was deep to me. This thing gave me some revelation. What it did is start peeling the scales off of my eyes, because now I'm not just a coach that says, I run everything. I call the offensive plays. I call the defensive plays. I call it. And now, you know what? I was literally doing that in the natural. I'm thinking about it now. And you know what? I want to apologize to every coach that has coached with me in a semi-pro league, because when I was a head coach, I tried to do everything. I tried to call the offensive plays. I tried to call the defensive plays. I tried to call a special team plays. I was a selfish person. I was a mean person. And when it didn't work my way, I was going off. And so I apologize to y'all, because at that time, this was the same time that Yvette was trying to help me to learn and understand the concept of team, concept of order, the concept of that God wants his will to be done. And if I don't get the understanding of God's will and his perspective of how I want it to be done, I will be operating in a selfish place, a place that's unwilling to sacrifice. I was unwilling to sacrifice my pride because I wanted to be the one that made the decisions. I wanted to be the one that did what they did and said what they said. And I wanted to be the one that said, okay, if we got a win, we got a win. If we got a loss, I'm blaming it on somebody else. Man, I apologize to you, Coach Rife. I apologize to every coach that I've worked with, that worked with me in the minor league football. I apologize. I even apologize to the owner, Calvin. I apologize. I apologize to my players for being a selfish person, not being in the right place, and you looking up to me and you looking for me to make right decisions, and I wasn't making the right decisions. I was sacrificing y'all for an ungodly cause, but God was trying to do something totally different. So I apologize, but I'm back to my wife trying to teach me in my language, and she's teaching me into my language, and it took a process. It took a little bit of time for me to get an understanding of it, but as I got the understanding that they had to be a sacrifice. And then God started telling me, he was like, okay, Gerald, now you understand in this language, but now you got to understand this marriage language. You got to understand this marriage. You got to understand that for you to understand who I am, that means there's a covenant that is being cut between me and you. There's a sacrifice that has to be done between me and you. Are you willing to just listen to me? or are you so occupied and so, you know, busy that you're literally listening to, you think you're listening to yourself, but you're listening to the enemy, because the enemy is always trying to distract you from what making a true commitment to God. Because anytime that God asks you to do something and you start operating in your emotions, you start operating in your feelings, and you'll say, you don't know what he did to me. Man, God already know what he did. God already know what he was going to do before he even did, or what she did, or what she said, even before they even said it. He already knew that was going to happen. So he's like, he's at this place like, are you willing to do it my way? Here's your instructions. Don't speak. When you truly want to open your mouth and snap, he said, don't speak. You sit there with a smile on your face. You don't roll your eyes. Don't roll your head. Don't look at them sideways. Don't do anything. You sit there and yes, thank you. Okay. And now you're like, why would I want to do that? I hear somebody saying, why would I want to do that? Why? Because God is trying to develop something in you. He's trying to develop the strength that you need to actually get through a hard and a rough place. There's going to be rough places, but you know what? It takes a dying to yourself to get through that rough place. Because if your emotions and your feelings kick in, you'll stop right there. You won't make it. You won't go past it. You won't push into it. You won't press into God's perfect will. I ain't telling you something. Somebody had to tell me. I'm telling you something that I live. I wasn't really. I mean, when I got to this place, I was like, man, this thing too hard. And he always say, what you think? You think it's easy for your wife? You think it's easy for her to love you? You think it's easy for her to sit there and listen to you act stupid? You think it's easy for her to sit there and love you when you sitting there going to sleep and you got your hands in your pants? You're masturbating. You sleep masturbating. You think that she's happy to know that you watch pornography all the time? You think she's happy to do that? That's embarrassing to her. That is embarrassing to her. But you gonna sit here and act like you can't make a sacrifice because you don't feel like you want to make a sacrifice. Gerald, don't make me. I don't know how God talked to y'all, but he talked to me like that. And I'm like, this is when I'm back. I'm back. Now I'm trying to change. I'm trying to change into something new. I'm trying to walk in something new. But I got to understand that there's a sacrifice got to be made. I'm asking God for God's will. Sometimes you say, oh, God, I want, you get it. You go to church, you be happy. And all of a sudden you get up and say, oh, God, I want your perfect will. Oh, let me live in your perfect will. But then soon as you hit that street, soon as you hit home, soon as something happened, where is God? Where is wanting God's perfect will then? Your emotions kick in, Gerald. I'm telling you, I'm just being transparent. I'm putting it out there. I'm bust the devil in the mouth. And if you feeling that way and you are that way, I'm talking about, listen, I remember times when I walk out of church. Me and Yvette walk out of church. We get into the car. Get into the car. And here we go. Something happens. And dang, didn't we just walk out of church? What just happened? Why are we arguing? Ain't nobody asking no question about why are we arguing. Nobody don't even care about why we arguing. All we care about is getting our point across. We talking about just walked out of church. We just talked about had our hands all raised, clapping, glory, 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 hallelujah, everything. And by the time we get into the car and get down the road, all hell break out. Because the enemy is going to see if you real about how you're going to live your life. If you saying you want God's perfect will, you better be expecting warfare. You better be expecting all hell to break loose. Because if you think that the enemy is going to allow you to walk in God's perfect will, you don't even understand spiritual warfare. You don't understand the laws of heaven and hell. You don't understand what the enemy is always trying to do. He is not trying to let you connect with God, really not trying to let you walk in God's perfect will. That's warfare in that place. There's a different warfare in that place. He'll sit there and let you play around with good and acceptable because you ain't really made up your mind to really and truly walk in this. It's like, oh, it's okay to be this way. You're a compromise. It's okay to do this. It's like, okay, I'm saved now. I'm good. Whatever. And now I'm acceptable. Now you're accepting what the word is saying, but are you really, really and truly living it? I'm talking about trying to get to the perfect will because this was my place. It was like, okay, I'm good. I'm saved. I'm good. Okay, here. Now I'm trying to get to acceptable. Oh, I'm acceptable. Okay, now I understand the word. But here it goes. When I want to get to God's perfect will, that means I got to actually live the word. That means I got to actually live it out. I guess I mean I really got to make a sacrifice that I'm a cut loose. All of these old things that I used to know, that I used to do, that I used to say, that I used to feel, I got to let it go. Because all I wanted to do is God's will. And people say, oh my God, that's just a doormat. That ain't a doormat. You think Jesus was a doormat? Because he didn't respond back. He didn't do any crazy stuff. He didn't respond the way the people wanted him to respond. But let me tell you something. He had more power in that place than anything. My wife had more power in just being submitted to something that the world would say you don't even need to be submitted to. Why would you submit to somebody that's lazy? Why would you submit to somebody that's a drug head? Why would you submit to somebody that's on pornography and masturbating and on alcohol and a liar and all of that stuff? God, why would you want me to submit to that? Why? Because ultimately, I need him to be saved. I need him to walk in the good and acceptable. And if you do what you do, then I can get him to my perfect will. And now, my God, walking that thing out, if you just heard what I said, you understand that there's a process and somebody got to be willing to walk in God's perfect will. Somebody got to be willing to be the one that people say, you crazy. Why would you do that? Why are you doing that? That don't even make sense to me. But you saying, God asked me to. God asked me to. And as I continue to do it, God continues to give me the strength. God continues to give me the wisdom. God continues to give me understanding and why I'm doing what I'm doing. Sometimes I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing, because God said, do it. I just do it, because at the end, there's something gonna come out of it. I'm just being obedient. I'm just being obedient, just walking this thing out. But God just steadily saying, Gerald, I need you to press into my perfect will. It's still a layer. He's still peeling stuff off of me. He's still developing my mind. He's still developing in my heart, because I was in a place, Pat, I wasn't even it good. I wasn't even that good. I was that good and then ran away from good. I ran away from all of it. And then all of a sudden now God says, I need to get you back. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what God does. God says, I'll accelerate it if you just surrender yourself to me. That means when I say surrender, I say I surrender it all, God, because I ain't have nothing. I was at a broke place. I ain't have a place to live. I ain't have no money. I ain't have no food. I ain't have no nothing. I was homeless. I was married with kids and could be home, and I chose to be homeless. I chose to be homeless. I chose to be broken. I chose that. I did. And the devil helped me to do it. He coached me to do it. He showed me how to do it. He pushed me to do it. Yeah, I did. That's exactly where I was. But then God brought me back home. As he brought me back home, he showed me these things. He showed me this good. He showed me this acceptable. And then he showed me this perfect will. And he showed me how to do it. But he gave me an example of how to do it. He showed me my wife. He allowed my wife to go through a process. And this process was long. It was long. She had to go through it as long as I was out there, because it was things that she had to do. And it was like sometimes she was like, man, why am I going through this? This man, I'm paying for this man's cell phone bill and he ain't even answering it. His daughter is trying to call him and he ain't even answering. Why, God, you sick? Because you said you want my perfect will. And what I have for you, your destiny and your purpose is tied up in his loins. And so if you want my perfect will, it's with that young man. And so because it's a bigger thing than what you think right now. Right now, you in your little bubble and you thinking that it's all about you and this marriage. But God says, I got something bigger. And as I sit here today, this testimony is bigger than what we had ever thought. This testimony is bigger than what we did. What she did is bigger than what she thought it was going to be. I mean, like literally. Because it's changed and transformed who she is. It changed and transformed what she does, how she lives her life. Sometimes I look at my wife and I say, babe, really? And she'll look at me with that. Okay, I get it. It's God. God telling you to do this. God is telling you to say this. It's times where I used to call her a fault finder. But let me tell you something. When you in God's perfect will, God shows you every pitfall, everything that can hinder your marriage, that can hinder your life, that can hinder these things, that shows you. And then that's a very lonely place. If a person can see all of these things and have to actually tell you these things, and in my mind, I used to say, you fault finding. You always finding fault in the things that I'm doing. But she's not only finding the fault in what I was doing. She was seeing the faults that she had to do, but she was self-correcting them. I wasn't self-correcting. And so I had to learn, and she told me, this is how I self-correct. I'm harder on myself than I'm harder on you. But you don't never see that, because I don't have to show you that. I just do it. I just automatically, if God say do this, correct this, I do it. If God say does this, God tells me the same thing, but I battle God. I'm sitting there going back and forth with God, because my flesh is trying to tell me one thing and God is trying to tell me another. And at one point in time, God, my flesh was stronger than my will. It was stronger than the will of God in my life. And I was losing that battle, but I started looking at my wife and understanding how to win the battle of the flesh. I was understanding how to absolutely tap into what I want God to do. I said, okay, God, I'm at a surrender place, so let me decrease as you increase. Let it be none of me and all of you. I'm walking into this place. Let thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in my life. Let it be done in my life. Let it be done in my language. Let it be done in my sight. Let it be done in my destiny and purpose. Just let your will be done. In that process, he starts stripping me. He stripped me. He stripped me. He stripped me. He stripped me. It felt like I was always getting ripped, always getting pulled apart, always getting tore down. But you know what, though? God was tearing me down to build me back up, because he had something different for me. And so here's that build back up. Here's the build back up. Gerald, I'm moving you away from people, places, and things. It was things that I had to get away from. It was people that I had to get away from. It was just situations that I had to get away from, because he said, I'm making all things new again. And so if you want all things new again, that means I'm bringing you into my perfect will. And yes, there's going to be struggles in my perfect will, because it's things that's inside of you that I'm trying to rip apart, things that I'm trying to pull you away from. And so my mindset and my heart and my hurt and my pains and all those things that were deep inside of me, that they didn't really, it moved with me, but they wasn't allowing me to get the fullness of God. They wouldn't allow me to get into God's perfect will. And now, as I'm where I am now, because let me tell you something. I say it. How can two walk together unless they agree? So my wife was already agreement in God's perfect will. And so now I tapped into her. We partnered up. Now, babe, I told her, hey, listen, if you see something, tell me. Now I'm not going to fault find. I'm not saying fault find. I'm saying, okay, let's pray against it. Let's go against. I'm understanding spiritual warfare. I'm understanding now that there's a demonic plan to stop me from loving my wife the way I'm supposed to love my wife, to love God the way I'm supposed to love God, to have my body and my mind and my heart and my soul, everything about me, to be vertically lined up with God. Because it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Am I being ordered by the Lord? These scriptures start rolling up to my head. It was like, okay, what are you thinking? He says, think on these things, huh? As a man thinketh, so is he. What are you thinking about, Gerald? Are you thinking about my perfect will? Are you meditating on my perfect will? Are you really ready to establish the perfect will in your life? I'm like, okay, God, I surrender to it. God, come into my heart. I start saying these things because I wanted to be transformed. I wanted to not just be straddling the fence. I didn't want to be the one that's sitting there lukewarm. I wanted to be on fire for God. I had a desire to be on fire for God. And so now me and my wife are talking together. We're praying together. We're declaring together. We're understanding together. And as these things start happening, and we're allowing God to talk to us, God to use us, God to speak to us, and not just speak to us and not obey and not understand, we actually walk in this thing out. And so we walk by the glory of God. We walk by the instructions of God. This marriage and this journey that we're walking on, this is God ordained. God make this move. I saw Apostle O'Neal on. He spoke this thing in a bad place. He literally spoke this thing. He said, you guys have a ministry of reconciliation. I didn't even know what the heck that meant. Really, I didn't even know what that meant. When he said that, I didn't even know what that meant. That was so far. I was like, okay, really? You don't really know where I am for you to say that. But he saw it, and he was looking at us, I mean, so serious. It was like He saw in the spirit realm what this was. And so Apostle O'Neal, Apostle Daryl O'Neal, thank you for seeing. I tell you all the time, thank you for seeing something in me that I didn't even see in myself. I tell you that. I tell you that. Every time I see you, I tell you that. Thank you. You saw something. You saw this thing. You saw this before we even saw it. You saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. And I was in my worst place. My worst place. So, sir, I thank you. You don't even know how grateful I am to you. You did something. You said something to me that woke me up. It was a seed that you sowed into me that over the time my wife watered this thing, because she started seeing this ministry, and she wasn't willing to sacrifice, and compromise. She wasn't going to compromise it. She was going to do this God's way. And if she couldn't do it God's way, we weren't going to do it at all. And so it took us a minute. So, thank you. I mean, like, seriously, thank you. You truly. You know, I'm grateful to you. We are grateful to you for speaking this into our lives. We love you. I mean, we love you with all of our heart. You just don't even know how much we love you, sir. When I see you, I'm gonna give you the biggest hug I've ever had. I'm gonna give you a big hug, man. I love you, sir. And thank you. Truly thank you. And so the transformation back from my will to God's will is a process. It's a place where you have to die to yourself. It's a place that you have to die to. When you find yourself in a place where you're ignoring God, or God tells you to do something and you really not do it, it's not a time place. Don't put a time limit on God. Don't put no time limit on God. God is trying to do something. God is trying to transform us. God is always in a process of transforming us from one place to another place. That's why it says glory, level to level, and glory to glory. It's always another place. So it's the place to call next. Where am I going next? What strength do I need next? Because let me tell you something. Every step that you take, every level that you get, there's a warfare that goes along with it. And if you ain't prepared for that warfare, then when you get there, you'll be stagnant. You'll be stuck. You'll be in a arrested development place. You won't move. Or you'll stay in that place that you're comfortable in. But God is trying to take us out of our comfortable place. God is taking us into a place where he's asking us to really and truly tap into his perfect will. Let's come out of that good. Let's come out of that acceptable. Let's push into that God's perfect will and watch what God. When I tell you what we're doing, what God is doing in us now, what God is doing in our marriage, what God is doing in our life, what God is doing in our finances, I can't even explain it to you. God is just blowing. I mean, blowing. And I'm always rubbing my head, because I'm like, God, seriously? Like, really, God? Like, I'm talking about every day for the past 3 years. It's been like, God, seriously? Is this what this looks like? Is this what your perfect will looks like? It's hard to stay in that place, because it's the warfare that comes at it. The enemy is always trying to hit at you. He's trying to distract. He's trying to bring that old stuff back. But it says, God says, I need you to be prepared. I need you to be prepared in season and out of season. I need you to be covered every morning. I need you to have your mind right, Gerald, because you know when the enemy tries to come at your mind, he's trying to distract you. He's trying to get you at a place of depression. He's trying to get you to a place that distracts you, that you won't pursue my perfect will. It's a pursuit for God's perfect will. It ain't just dropped upon you. You got to pursue that thing. You got to fight for that thing. You got to go get that thing. And God is saying, come get it. Come get it. This is part of your journey. This is part of your destiny. This is part of your purpose. I called you for this. I ain't called for you to stay in that little level. I say rise. I want you to rise. I want you to come further. I want you to move up. I want you to reach higher. I want you to go to the next level. There's no more staying in a stagnant place. There's no more being just comfortable. God is not want you in a comfortable place. He's always trying to bring you into another place, Gerald. I talk to myself. I have to tell myself that. I have to tell myself that because I was a lazy person. I was a person that had arrested development place, that I was just stuck in a place. But God delivered me out of the arrested development state. God delivered me out of that little boy. I'm telling you, I used to be that little boy that all I wanted to do is stay in this place, do this, me, myself, and I. You think about a little kid. A kid always want, that's how you develop your me, myself, and I, your selfish spirit. Because all you think about is, can I have one? Why I can't have me, my, unless you have another sibling. But now it becomes worse because both of them talking about me, my, can I have, why they got this, why they got that. Then you get resentment, then you get anger, then you get rejection, then you get bitter. I'm just saying, that was my process of coming into my manhood, now coming out of this little boy, and now seeking God's perfect will. God, the enemy is always trying to bring, to take away my manhood. Having a bad perspective. You know, I was easily offended. You offend me, you can't talk to me. I'm done with you. So that now we don't have no communication. But God says, if you're gonna work in my perfect will, you can't be offended. You cannot be unforgiving. You can't be angry. I ain't say you can't be angry, but you can't sin in your anger. You can't be in a place where you want to sin with it. Now your words are horrible. Now your attitude is horrible. Now your facial expression is horrible. We can't do that. I watch my wife come out of that. I watch my wife be delivered from that. I watch her do stuff that I'm like, I know you got to be working with God because you doing stuff that, if I ask somebody else what they have done it, they be like, man, you done lost your mind. I ain't doing that. Why would I do it? She counsels. She hears people say it all the time. Oh, I'm not doing that. Oh, I can't do that. You already shortchanging yourself. You're not, it's a place where you just want to be comfortable. But God is God is taking us out of our comfortable place. God says, now I want you to come out of your will and I want you to come into my will. I need you to press toward my perfect will. That's the ultimate place. He wants everybody to walk in his perfect will. Why? Because in that place, you start seeing miracle signs and wonders. You start seeing things that you start seeing more of God than you start seeing more of yourself, of more than what the world is trying to give you or what the world is trying to manipulate you to do. You'll see it. We are spiritual beings living in a human body. He says, be in this world, but not of this world. That's the mindset, Gerald, that I had. This is the mindset I have to think now, because that's being in God's perfect will. That's understanding that this is a spiritual thing. That's why I understand, you know, the spiritual warfare that is happening on every level. The spiritual warfare that when I got up, when I woke up this morning and I walked out of my house, I do know the enemy hates me. I do know the enemy wants to kill me. I do know the enemy has a plan for me today. And you know what? I got on my armor. I'm girded up and I'm on this thing, busting him in his mouth. So every time I have to get on here in the morning, I get on in the morning and God says, it's a turnaround. You do this. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I got you, God. I get on and I give it. And you know what? This thing here, this is therapeutic to me. And what he's saying, he said, Gerald, I'm trying to take you to another level. I'm ripping everything that tried to hold on to you. I'm taking everything that residue that was trying to be connected to your soul. I'm taking it out now, that you will walk around with no residue. When I say I'm putting the blood cleanses, the blood removes all spots. You're going to be that living proof. You're going to be that one that brings hope to a broken marriage. You're going to be that one to bring somebody that's been addicted for all their life to come out and serve me, and not just serve me, but be powerful for me. You know what I'm saying? So the enemy don't want me telling this story. He don't want me sitting here telling y'all my business, telling you what I had to walk through, telling all his secrets. I know he mad. So I have to cover my kids. I cover my family. I cover my relatives, because if he can't get to me, he's going to try to get to one of them. So I stand up and I cover them. And I don't play around with him. I don't play around with the enemy. I used to be cool with the enemy. I used to hang with the enemy, but I don't play with him anymore. He's not even my friend. I hate him with a passion. And so, yes, I wake up with an attitude. Somebody's like, man, you got a little attitude. No, I got an attitude. I got an attitude against the devil, against the enemy. Oh, you got a little man, you got a little Napoleon complex. Man, please, I don't even know what that means, man. Whatever. I'm talking about beating down the devil. Now, I'm not in cahoots with him. I'm not the enemy is the father of lies is not my father. I'm not connected to them. God says, as you continue to press into me, I'm cleaning you up. I'm really and truly cleaning you up. So I need you to keep telling this thing. So I'm like, God, seriously? How many more of these things you want me to do? He says, every time I wake you up and I say turn around, that means I'm giving you something to talk about. So I don't wake up with a subject. I get up and he says, turn around. And I get into my car. I know what that means. And I go on my drive. And by the time I get halfway in my drive, he gives me a title. Then by the time I get home and get into my parking spot, he gives me a scripture. And he starts giving me the examples of my life and how he's bringing me out of something, how he's ripped me out of the hands of the enemy, how he has beat me out, as he has bought me out of a cave. I talked about my wife. It's Lazarus. I'm sitting in a tomb and my wife beating down the thing. That's God's will. Because she could have easily just let me die. She could have easily just said, okay, he's dead, move on. But no, he gave her the strength to beat a wall down, to beat the walls down that I had raised up. And then I'm sitting in a dead place, and now she's beating down the wall. She had to have the strength to beat that boulder. She had to have the strength to be able to fight, to be able to move that boulder, to beat that boulder, the strength and the time period of how long she had to do it. Man, she was fighting this fight for a decade plus. She was fighting for me, even when I wasn't fighting for myself. But God was developing her during that time period. That when I came back, she was already transformed. She was already in that place. Did she still have some stuff to work on? Yeah, she still had some stuff to work on. But she was 90% past where she was. She was way past what I saw. So when I look at my wife now, I don't even see the residue of the old person. My wife treats me like a king. She loves me like a king. Even when I look crazy or say something crazy, she just looks at me and she says, I still love my king. Boy, you still in process. You still get you pushing, baby. But I still love you, and I still appreciate you, and I still, because I pray for you. Now I pray. I do everything that I'm supposed to do. Do I do it right all the time? No. Because I'm still in the process. I'm still learning. God is always pushing me to a place of learning, because I was at a place where I didn't even want to learn. But that's in God's perfect will. You have to be willing to learn, Gerald. You have to be willing to take these corrections, Gerald, because I say I correct those ones that I love. I chastise the ones that I love. So if you getting beat and you get, God loves you. He loves you so much that he'll chastise you, that he wants you to be right, that he wants you to be in his perfect will. He's okay with your good and acceptable, but he wants everybody to tap into this good. He want this perfect will, perfect will, perfect will, perfect will. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get into God's perfect will. If you're willing to get into God's perfect will, say, I want God's perfect will. Just put, I want God. What? Would you say, God? I want your perfect will. I want your perfect will. And listen, there's a lot of correction that's going to go on, because there's a lot of things that he has to change in your mind. A lot of things that he has to change in your heart. A lot of things that he has to change in your vocabulary. A lot of things that he has to change in your hearing, because those things have caused you to operate in a comfortable place. And God is getting ready to take you out of a comfortable place. And understand that when he takes you out of a comfortable place, he places you in a place of testing. And you will say, oh my God, why the enemy? Man, listen, God is trying to test you to see if you're going to actually operate and use what God has asked you to use. Use what God wants you to use. Use the words, use the vocabulary, use the fire, use the scriptures, use this technique, use his strength, use his understanding, use what he has given you to make it through. It's like going from one level to, if you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in elementary, there's absolutely no way you're going to make it in middle school, because there was things that you had to learn in elementary to get you to middle school, from middle school to high school. It's that same process. Why you think you got educational system? God ain't just do it. It's a process. You go from a little boy to a man. Everything that we do, it's a process. So when you're trying to get from good, acceptable, to perfect, okay, perfect is like getting a PhD. You think that's easy? Absolutely not. That means there's something that you got to do differently. You can't study the way you study in high school for a PhD. You can't study like that. It's something different that got to happen. So listen, there's a process. Let us all fight for that perfect will. Let us all go for that perfect will. Let's go get that perfect will. Let's just be transformed. God, you know, I want your perfect will. I want your perfect will. I want to be in your perfect will. Transform me. Father God, renew my mind, renew my heart, renew a right spirit within me, because I want to walk in my new. I want to be the new person that you said I am, because I've allowed Christ in me. And you said, greater is he that is in me that is in this world. So what's inside of me and the power that's inside of me, that it's greater than what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to hold on and snag you and snare you and trap you and keep you bound and keep you blind and keep you deaf and keep you unknowing. But God is saying, I'm bringing forth everything that you need. I'm bringing you out of that dead place. I'm bringing you out of the place. All you have to do is say, God, I just want your perfect will. I just want your perfect will. Let your will be my will. Jesus even said it. He said, if I drink it, let your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. I mean, he actually said that. And so if Jesus said it, and we say that you're not what would Jesus do? We're going to do what Jesus did, and we're going to walk this thing out. And he's not asking us, because he's already gave his life for us. So he's not asking us to die, but he's asking us to die to our emotions and our feelings, and to die to that place that has caused us to not operate and function in God's perfect will. Because God's perfect will, it takes a whole lot of work. It takes a whole lot of strength. It takes a whole lot of courage. It takes a whole lot of boldness to sit there and speak a thing into existence, to pray for something that you don't even see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You haven't even seen you haven't even seen what God wants to do. You haven't even seen the prayers that you have been praying over and over and over, because there's something else that God is asking you to do that you haven't even tapped into. It might be an attitude. It might be the way you pray. It might be the way you eat. It might be the way you exercise. You want God's perfect will in everything you do. Everything you do. Father, just saturate them. Father God, let thy will just saturate them. Sit upon them, Father. Let them see everything that you want them to be and everything you want them to do, that your will is their will, that your desires is their desires, that there is none of them and it's all of you, Father. I declare it over them now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for developing me and pushing me and giving me the strength and the understanding how to get to your perfect will. And Father, I will not stop until I get to your perfect will. The enemy cannot stop me from getting to your perfect will, because you have given me the strength, you have given me the authority, you have given me the power, you have given me everything that I need to destroy the enemy. And I put that on the forefront of my mind. I destroy the enemy, because I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I am sitting at the throne room of God. I am that one. I am who God says I am. And so I operate in his perfect will. So please, today, let's push for God's perfect will. His perfect will. His perfect will. We won't stop. We won't stop until we get to his perfect will. Please believe me, it's not going to be easy, because the enemy is going to come at you today. Soon as you hit that button and say, okay, God, I'm giving you my perfect will, you better believe the enemy heard you, and you better believe the enemy is going to come and try to steal that word. He's going to come and try to steal your joy. He's going to come and try to steal your peace. He's going to come and try to steal. That's why God says, hide the word in your heart. Hide the word in your heart. Then when he comes, he can't find it. He can't find it. He's looking, but he can't find it. He can't even get back in. You done locked him out. So let's go. Everybody, I pray that you're with me. I pray that you're taking this journey with me. I pray that you're taking this journey with me, because I'm telling you, as we go together, there's power in numbers. There's power in numbers. So find that person that is willing to take this journey with you, that's willing to see and understand if, hey, man, listen, if it looks like I'm compromising, if it looks like I'm not doing the right thing or sound like I'm doing the right thing, you hear from God. And if you see it or hear it and God shows you, let me know. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be mad. But let me tell you something, that when God shows you something and tells you something, you got to be willing to make that change, make that adjustment. Babe, I thank you for being who you are. I thank you for seeing the things that are caused our marriage or our family or our legacy or our destiny to be in jeopardy. If I'm not watching, I pray that I'm on my guard. I'm a watchman and I'm sitting there watching and I'm not going to leave my post. I pray that you continue to be the helpmeet that is suitable. You are suitable for me, wife. You are suitable for me, Yvette. I thank you that God has created in you something that you are willing to do, even though you didn't even want to do it. But look at what happened, baby. Look at what happened. Look at what you have prayed through. Well, look at what you have walked your life out, and now I can see it. Look what you have done. You have encouraged me to do this. You have encouraged me to be the man that you have called, that God has called for me to be. You spoke these things into existence. You spoke my destiny and purpose out. You prayed this thing out. You've birthed this thing out. God has given you the ability and you giving you the gift to be able to help the anointing on my life, the power on my life, the authority on my life. He's giving you the ability to help that. And I thank you for being my friend. I thank you for being my buddy. I thank you for being my partner. I thank you for all of it, because you have truly, truly, truly walk me in this perfect will. You literally helped me to walk in this thing, and I thank you for it. I'm not even playing, babe. I thank you for it. You are truly a living epistle, and I thank God every day for you. Continue to plow into God. Continue to seek God. Continue to get your strength in God. Continue to do whatever it is you've been doing with God. You keep doing it. Don't you stop it. Don't stop. Just push into it. And I thank you for what you pouring out to other women. I thank you for pouring what you pour out into them. I thank you for being an example to them. I thank you for giving them the help that they need to make it through their day, to make it through their marriage, to make it through into the ministry that God has called for them to be. I thank you for the wisdom that you have given them. I thank you for the teaching anointing. I thank you for the grace that you have to pour into others. Now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I take this moment to thank all the women that are making, women and men that are choosing to plow into God's perfect will. To plow, push, dig, go. Do everything that you can. Father, place super on their natural, Father, that when they are weak, you are strong. Father God, give them the wisdom that they need, the understanding that they need. Give them the strategies that they need, Father God. Let them see who they are, Father God, in the spirit realm, Father, that as you correct them, Father God, as you chastise them, Father God, allow them to understand how much you love them, Father God. And I bind the spirit of unforgiveness. I bind all forms of rejection, abandonment now that have caused them to not understand what love is, to not receive love now in the name of Jesus. Father God, every trauma spirit, every hurt spirit, everything that has caused them, Father God, to see differently, remove the scales off of their eyes. I bind the mind-blinding spirit, that spirit that have caused their mind to be one way and another way. I bind all forms of double-mindedness. I bind all forms of bipolar, schizophrenia, a split personalities now in the name of Jesus. I bind generational curses of it. I bind dysfunction in the communication, dysfunction in the marriage, dysfunction in the family now in the name of Jesus. That Father God, I say that your perfect will be done in the household. It will be done in the kids. I thank you, Father God, for sanctified wife, sanctifying the husband, the sanctified husband, sanctifying the wife. Father God, I thank you that the marriages are sanctifying the household now in the name of Jesus. Father, pitch a tent over every home, Father God. I thank you for your presence being felt. Father, I kick out every demonic plot, plan, and ploy that has been designed to hinder marriages, frustrate marriages, stop marriages, split marriages, separate marriages, every marriage-breaking spirit, wedge-breaking spirit, every covenant-breaking spirit. Father God, we come up against the Ahab and Jezebel role reversal. We cancel all forms of role reversal. We bind the weak man. We bind the little boy We bind the running man that runs away from your problems, that runs away from your issues. I counsel it now in the name of Jesus. I declare that they will be steadfast and unmovable now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that they will be the priests, prophets, and kings that you have called for them to be. I bind the quarreling spirit. I bind all forms of anger, frustration, depression, disrespect now in the name of Jesus. I bind the facial expressions. I bind the finger pointing, the neck rolling. Now in the name of Jesus, I bind the cursing spirit now in the name of Jesus. Shekarabasondo, I bind it now. Father God, I say for right, I decree and declare righteous living, holy living now in the name of Jesus. I break off all old bad habits. Father God, I cancel all soul ties. Everything we sever, every soul tie, everything that's connected to worldly desires, worldly influences, all forms of temptation and seduction spirits now, all forms of pornography now, all forms of masturbation now, in the name of Jesus. All forms of homosexuality now, in the name of Jesus. I bind the molesting spirit now, in the name of Jesus. The trauma that has come from molesting, that has come from any sexual impurities now, I bind generational curses of the pedophile now, in the name of Jesus. I bind it now. I cancel every death and destruction spirit that has operated in the families, operated on the families, that's been killing off families. I bind the spirit of Molech, premature death now, in the name of Jesus. I bind the octopus spirit that has been trying to squeeze the life out of the family, out of the marriage, out of the finances. Now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the poverty spirit, the lack spirit. Now, I don't have enough spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare prosperity, Father God. I speak favor on their lives now. In the name of Jesus, resources that's coming from the north, the east, the south, the west to meet the needs now. In the name of Jesus, oh Father, I come up against all forms of the deep, deep hurt, the deep wounds, Father God, that have come from the past, Father God, coming from their families. Father God, things that have happened, Father God, in generations, their ancestors now, every vile, Father God, that was ungodly and unholy. Now we sever that tie now in the name of Jesus. We renounce the vow now in the name of Jesus. We come up against all forms of witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, white magic, voodoo, hex, vexes, every psychic prayer, every charm, Father, going to the psychics. We cancel it now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Every word that was spoken over them, every negative word that's been spoken over them, now in the name of Jesus, we come up against all forms of condemnation now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We come up against all forms of shame now in the name of Jesus, depression now, suicidal thoughts now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We declare that you're doing a new thing, Father God. You're turning around their lives. You're turning around marriages. You're turning around finances. You're turning around communication. You're turning around their love. You're turning around their intimacy. You're turning it around, Father God. You're turning the good, Father God. You're turning what was bad, Father God, to good. Now, in the name of Jesus, you're turning their will, Father God, their will into your will, Father God. We thank you that they're desiring it now. We thank you that their mind is being renewed. We thank you, Father God, that the scales have been removed off of their eyes. Deliver their eyes, Father God. Deliver their ears, Father God, from the seducing words that have come to their ears that seduce them, Father God, to do evil, to do wrong, Father God, to go the other way, Father God, to make bad decisions. We say, Father God, that the stranger's voice they will not hear, they will not follow. We thank you, Father God, that now they see your perspective. They see your will. They see your desires now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, as they see it and as they think it, it penetrates their heart. We say that their heart is filled with glory. Their heart is filled with your word. Their heart, Father God, is filled, Father God, with your presence now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you that they're speaking your word. They're declaring your word, Father God. They're proclaiming your word, Father God. Proclamations are coming forth. Declarations are coming forth like never before. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for being fitly joined together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you, Father God, that as we plow together, that we press together, that we go, Father God, from glory to glory, from level to level and glory to glory. Father, we thank you for the process of getting to, Father God, your perfect will. We say that your perfect will is our destination, Father God. We say that your presence, Father God, is our destination. We say, Father, we won't stop until you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you for a servant's heart. We thank you, Father God, that we serve you with all of our heart. We cancel all forms of pride, Leviathan, In the name of Jesus, Father, we say that we operate in a spirit of humility. Father God, as we continue to lay low, Father God, it is you that brings us to a high place. In the name of Jesus, oh, we thank you and we praise you, Father. For this is truly being your day. This is truly your day. This is your day. And Father, we thank you that we're able to rejoice. Father God, everything that stole our joy, everything that stole our peace, everything that stole our happiness, Father God, we declare that it is coming. It is back to us now in the name of Jesus. Everything that the enemy has stole, Father, it is back to us now. I declare it now in the name of Jesus. No longer will you steal from us. No longer will you steal from us. No longer will you steal from us. Our eyes are open and we declare that you are no longer steal from us. You can't come in our house. You can't steal my life. You can't steal our marriage. You can't steal our family. You can't steal our children. You can't steal our finances. You can't steal our friendship. You can't steal our love. You can't steal our intimacy. You can't steal nothing. Everything that you stole is coming back to us 1,000-fold. Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, I declare it over these airways. I declare it in the atmosphere. I declare it upon this land. Father God, you say that we call those things that be not as though they were. Father God, I speak it now and I say it is now. It is happening now. Let it manifest now. Let my words take on the characteristics of projectile and hit the bullseye. Father, I thank you that you're giving me, that you call for me to be a sharpshooter in the spirit realm. I thank you, Father God, that as I intercede and I stand in the gap, Father God, the prayers that I pray, Father God, are manifesting suddenly. Now in the name of Jesus, I speak a sudden change, a sudden turnaround. Now in the name of Jesus, this is the turnaround season. This is the turnaround moment. This is the turnaround day. This is the turnaround hour. This is the turnaround second. Father, I thank you that things and things are changing now. In the name of Jesus, hearts are changing. Minds are changing. Eyesight changing. Ears are changing. Words are changing, Father God. Their spirit man is changing. Everything is changing, Father God, to seek your perfect will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, I pray that this bless you. And remember, all you want is God. I just want God's perfect will. I want God's perfect will. I want God's perfect will. And I pray that you want God's perfect will too. And understand that with wanting God's perfect will, there comes with a fight. There comes a sacrifice. There's a sacrifice that has to be made to get into God's perfect will. Don't think you're just going to get into his perfect will just because you saved, just because you go to church, just because you read the Bible. There's a lifestyle that has to happen. There's a lifestyle. Yes, you can walk in your charisma. Yes, you can walk in your gift. But if you truly want God's perfect will, you better understand that there is a sacrifice that has to be made, because you just don't get there just to be getting there. There's something that you have to go through. There's something that you have to press through. There's something that you have to beat through. There's something that you're going to have to do. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your pride. It's going to cost you your intellect. It's going to cost you the way you think, the way you feel, your feelings. It's going to cost you that, because what God wants is what God wants. And he don't want anything less than that. So if you're willing to give God your all, and you're willing to press into God's perfect will, you better understand that there's going to be something that you're going to have to do to win this thing. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you ain't going to just happen. It ain't going to just happen. Happenstance. Oh, I'm here. No. There's something you got to go through. There's a sacrifice that you have to make. What are you willing to sacrifice? What if God asks you to sacrifice something? Are you willing to sacrifice it? Are you willing? Are you willing? You got to ask yourself that today. Am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to sacrifice the way that I look, the way that I sound, the way that I sound, the way that I talk, the way that I feel, my emotions? Am I willing to sacrifice it? Or am I just going to sit there and say, it's just the way I am? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And the truth is not even in him. So I believe that you can fight for God's perfect will. You can achieve God's perfect will. Just ask for the strength to get through. Ask for the wisdom to get through. Ask for the strategies to get through, because God is willing. God is willing to give you everything you need. He is not a man that he shall lie. He said his word will not return void, empty, or vain, but it shall accomplish that which you please. Let me tell you something. God is ready to do the impossible in your life. God is ready to take you to another level, and God is ready to show you how wonderful he truly is. We sing the songs, how wonderful God is. We say how wonderful God is. We act how wonderful God is. But let me tell you something. God is in the time now that he's ready to show you who he really is. He's ready to show you who he really is. Now take that time and sanctify yourself to him. Reconcile yourself back to him. Not to your family, not to your man. Reconcile yourself back to him and watch God do it, because you're only going to be held accountable at the end of this. You're going to be held accountable for what you do in your body, not what your spouse do, not what your kids do, not what anything. It's how you live your life. If you live in your life in God's perfect will and it changes somebody else's life, it ain't something that you have to say. It's about how you live your life to change somebody's life. I can sit here and talk about I'm just telling you how I got to live my life, what I actually came out of, and what I got to do every day to keep myself in this place. Because if I don't keep myself in this place, the people that look at me loses. They lose hope. And you know how heavy that is? That's one heavy weight. So yes, I wake up looking for the enemy, understanding that there's warfare. There's things that want to get back at me, things that want me to change my mind, to change the way I walk, to change the way I talk. There's things that want me to fall. So if I fall, everybody that's around me fall. That's a weight on me. That stays on the forefront of my mind. So I wake up in that mindset. That's why I say, God, I just want your will. Let your will be my will. Thank you. Got it on his will. So once again, thank you so much. Hey, Uncle Darryl, man, once again, every time I see your name, man, you make me want to cry. That's the kind of love that I truly have for you. It's a whole different love. It's a whole different love. When someone believes in you and someone sees something in you, it's like my wife. It's when I look at her, I just want to cry, because she believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. She saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And sir, that's exactly what you did. And so that means something to me and my wife. I want you to know that. And I tell you, I don't know how many times I got to tell you, but man, we love you. We love you for real, for real, like for real, for real, for real. You got a place in our heart. You got a place in our heart. That's no joke. So we love everybody, but that man, he saw this thing decades back. He saw it decades back. He didn't even know what he was saying. I don't even know all he knows is, I'm just doing what God said. I don't even know y'all like that, but I'm going to say this and speak this into you. And all of a sudden he was able to actually start sinning, because he saw me in my bad place. And now he sees me in this place, and I'm happy that he was able to see that. And then my daughter, my spiritual daughter just popped on. She seen me in a bad place, and now she see me in this place. And God says, I'm gonna restore it all. And when God start restoring something, I'm telling you, listen to me. When you start tapping into God's perfect will, you start losing the residue of the old stuff. Y'all better catch that. You don't even talk the same. You don't even think the same. You don't even feel the same, because God starts taking that stuff away. He starts transforming you into his likeness. He starts transforming you into his feelings. He starts transforming you into all of these places and all of these things. He starts transforming you, and then you no longer feel the same. You no longer sound the same. You no longer hear the same. You hear something different. You feel something different. That's tapping into God's perfect will. That's pushing into God's perfect will. Because if you try to stay in good and acceptable, you'll find yourself getting in your emotions. You'll get in your emotions, because it's good that you save. It's acceptable that you're reading the word. But when you start tapping into God's perfect will, that means that's saying that I'm willing to live this word. I'm willing to walk this word out. Whatever this word says, I ain't compromising on it. Yep. When you find yourself compromising, you find yourself living in the good and acceptable. That's how you check your meter. So check your meter if you're getting God's perfect will. So I'm going to go. Y'all, love y'all. I want y'all to be blessed. I pray that this bless you. If it bless you, let me know it bless you, because it really blessed me. And once again, I'm so honored to have Apostle Daryl O'Neill on our on y'all. Listen, y'all don't follow me, follow him, cause he for real. He's for real for real. I mean, he don't play about this thing. So if you know what I know, you see his name on there, you look him up, and when you hear him, you gonna know what I'm talking about. Love him. All right, y'all. Y'all be blessed. Y'all have a wonderful day. Enjoy your weekend. I can't tell you if I'm going to be on tomorrow. All I know is I wake up and God says something, and he goes with what I go with what he says go with. All right? So y'all be blessed, and y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.